Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. Psalm 100 is the only of the Psalms that explicitly identifies itself as a psalm to give thanks. It's interesting that this, of all the Psalms, or all of the sacred psalm book, the Psalter, is the only psalm that actually commands us or exhorts us to give thanks. Now, that doesn't mean it's the only psalm that finds the psalmist giving thanks. There are many psalms in which the psalmist gives thanks, but this is the only psalm uniquely that actually commands us or exhorts us to give thanks unto the Lord. So F.B. Meyer said that if we could enter into the spirit of this psalm, every day would be a day of thanksgiving. Now I want you to look at with me verse 1. It starts with a universal call to worship. The psalmist cries out, and we don't know who wrote the psalm. We don't know the background for the psalm, but he cries out in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So in the very first verse, and it's a very short psalm, it starts off with a universal call to worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, there are three questions that I want to ask and answer from this psalm. There are so much that we could draw from this psalm. A little bit frustrating for me. I'd like to spend hours with you in this psalm or do a whole series on this psalm, but I'm just going to touch some things from the psalm, and then we're going to worship and give thanks again in just a moment. But if you're taking notes, three simple questions, and we're going to answer from this psalm. The first is, who should worship the Lord? The answer is in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, who? All ye lands. As I pointed out, it is a universal call to worship. Who is to worship the Lord? The simple answer, right, is everybody is to worship the Lord. The God of the Bible is the God of the universe. Amen? The God of the Bible is the only true and living God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's the God of all the earth. This is why Jesus said that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not just that we worship God here in Southern California, or we worship the Lord here in the United States, or this is just the American God, and then they have gods for other countries, or gods for other times, or gods for other lands. There is only one God, the true and living God, and all the earth and all peoples of all nations and all tongues and all languages are to worship the Lord. Men, women, children, different stratas of life, different times in life, all ye lands, we are called universally to worship the Lord our God. So what a wonderful thing that is. And at Thanksgiving, we worship the Lord. I was thinking about the fact that if you were an atheist and you didn't believe in God, how would you give thanks at Thanksgiving? Who are you going to thank? I mean, who are you thanking? If you're not thanking God, who are you thanking? I mean, think about that. The whole idea of giving thanks for the blessings that have come to us from God. Why even be thankful if you're self-made? Why even be thankful if you're the one that produced your own food? The first pilgrims that came here and they were thankful to God, amen? They were thankful to God who gave them food, to God who provided for them, for God, to God who sustained them, for God who took care of them. If there is no God, there's no need to be thankful. We grew the food. We planted the food. We made it grow. We took care of it. We provided it. It would be, I thank me, I thank me, I thank me kind of a thing. I mean, who are you thanking? So as believers, we are universally called to give thanks to the Lord. But the second question from the psalm that we need to ask and answer is how to worship the Lord. Not who is to worship the Lord, but how are we to worship the Lord? And oh, how wonderfully and marvelously this psalm answers this question. Now, in asking and answering these questions, I have to admit to you, I'm not really following the structure of the psalm. I'm drawing these points from the psalm, but I'm not following the Hebrew poetry of the psalm. In the psalm, there's a call to worship, then it tells us how to worship, and then it tells us why we worship, and it does it twice in the psalm. But I'm asking three questions. First, who should worship? Everyone should worship. And secondly, how we should worship. And let me give that to you. First of all, we should worship with shouting or shout to the Lord. Notice it in verse 1. He says there in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That joyful noise unto the Lord has the idea in the Hebrew of a glad shout or a glad proclamation. It was used of a people or a nation or a group who would rejoice and shout with gladness when their king would arrive. They would rejoice and they would shout with joy at the coming of their king. So the idea is that when we actually worship God, we should shout unto the Lord. I love what Vance Havner said years ago. He said that a lot of Christians will go to a sporting event on Saturday and yell like wild Comanches. And then they come to church on Sunday and sit like wooden Indians. I mean, we're worshiping God. We should be shouting to the Lord. Amen? We should be shouting to the Lord, and it should be a glad shout. Notice what he says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So just there's joy and gladness in our celebration. C.H. Spurgeon said, our happy God should be worshiped by happy people. I like that. Secondly, we should worship with service. So we shout and we serve, verse 2. Notice what it says in verse 2. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Not sadness, but gladness. If you're serving the Lord with sadness, then ask God to change your heart and your attitude, and that you should be motivated in your service by gladness. So we need to shout to the Lord with gladness, and we need to serve the Lord with gladness. We worship the Lord as we serve the Lord. Now, serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord are linked together. Worship is manifested in service. We can't be truly worshiping God if we're not serving God. I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you come to church on Sunday and you lift your hands to the Lord and you sing praises to the Lord, then during the week you ought to roll up your sleeves and serve someone. You ought to help someone. You ought to minister to someone. You ought to come to church looking for God, and you ought to leave church looking for people. How you can help, and you can minister, and you can serve. How do we worship God? Well, we worship God by feeding people, by clothing people, by caring for people. You say, John, isn't that a social gospel? No, that's the outflow of a heart that's changed. The gospel doesn't change. Gospel is that God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, and that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven and have eternal life. But once we have been born again and we've come to know Jesus Christ, then our life as an act of worship should be dedicated to serving the Lord. Jesus said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And then Romans 12, Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable act of worship or service. So our lives are to be dedicated to service. So how do we worship God? By shouting, by serving, and then thirdly, by singing. Notice it in verse 2. Come before his presence with singing. And you did that tonight. We're going to do that again. Come before his presence with singing. If anyone should sing, it should be Christians, right? I didn't say you have to sing good. That's why it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You don't have to be a good singer. You just have to have a heart that loves God. In Ephesians, Paul says, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that phrase, making melody in your heart to the Lord, literally means that God plucks the strings of our heart. It's a picture of our heart like being a stringed instrument, and God actually plucks the strings of our hearts. And when you come to know the Lord, he puts a song in your heart. And part of our worship is singing to the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. And then fourthly, how do we worship God? We worship God with sacrifice. I love it. Jump down to verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, when I say sacrifice here, the Old Testament Jews would bring an animal sacrifice. They would bring a ram or bring a lamb or bring a turtle dove or bring a goat or bring a bullock. They would slay it and shed its blood, and they would bring a lamb and give it to God as a sacrifice. But here the psalmist, and they would sing this psalm as they would enter into the temple and to the tabernacle and worship God. And here the psalmist is actually saying that we're to bring to God a sacrifice of two things, thanksgiving, verse 4, and praise. We're to give thanks to the Lord, even if we don't feel like it, even if we maybe think that there's nothing to be thankful for. We're to count our blessings. We're to focus on the things God has given to us and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. And we're to be thankful to the Lord. So a sacrifice of thanks. So I want you tonight, right now, as I'm speaking, this very, very, very moment right now, to stop and to pick one thing out in your heart, in your mind. You can multitask, right, while I'm preaching and while you're thinking, you can be thinking, okay, what can I just in my heart right now just say, Lord, thank you for? Maybe it's your husband, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's some material blessing. Maybe it's a spiritual blessing. Maybe it's his Holy Spirit. Maybe it's eternal life. Those are wonderful things to give thanks for. But just right now, right here, right now, just say, Lord, thank you. Begin to count your blessings. Give him a sacrifice of praise. You know, the word think and the word thank are related to one another. Come from the same root. And when we think, we thank. If we're thinking, we're thanking. If we're thinking about God and who he is and what he's done for us, then we're thankful. And when we're not thinking, then we are not thankful for the blessings of God. And then also we are to praise, a sacrifice of praise, verse 4. So count your blessings and begin to praise God. So thanking God for what he's done and praising God for who he is. But the third thing I want to ask tonight and seek to answer, and this is the foundation of this psalm, is why we worship the Lord. Who worships the Lord? Everyone. How do we worship the Lord? We saw we worship the Lord by shouting and by singing, and by serving, Am I sacrificing? And that's just a few ways that we worship God. But here we're going to see why we should worship the Lord. And I want you to see them from this psalm. Notice in verse 3, for he is God. Know ye. In verse 3, we have the reasons we worship God. And then in verse 5, we'll come down there in a moment, we have reasons for worshiping God. But the first reason is, know ye that the Lord, he is God. So we worship him because he is God. Now, the particular focus in this statement here in verse 3 is, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are not self-made. There are a lot of people today that are self-made and they worship their creator. They worship themselves. You're not self-made, nor are you a product of accident. We are worshiping our creator. Amen. Evolution is one of the most tragic, horrible lies ever to be fostered upon the minds of men. Amen. The idea that we're all here by accident, there is no God that created us in his image and likeness, that we're made in the image of God by special design, that man is unique. This is one of the reasons why our culture has deteriorated the way it is today. People are freaking out with all the gun violence and all the violence and the moral decay, and yet we're preaching and teaching evolution in the public schools. We act like animals and we wonder why. Duh. That's what they're preaching. That's what they're teaching. The psalmist very clearly said he's God and he's made us and not we ourselves. I hope that this Thanksgiving you stop and you worship the Creator. All of creation speaks of God. Amen? Everything speaks of God. Everything in creation is speaking of God. You hear atheists say, if God is real, then why is he hiding? He's not hiding. The heavens declare the glory of God, and day unto day they utter his speech. Their line has gone out to the ends of the earth. God is speaking universal language through creation of the wisdom and the power and the glory of God. And when you worship God, you're worshiping him as creator. When you give thanksgiving, you're thanking God who created you. So who are you worshiping? Your creator. God actually created you. Think about that. Someone created you, made you. You were made, created, designed by God. The second reason we worship is because not only is he God, the creator, but he's also the redeemer. He is Redeemer. Notice in verse 3, know ye that he is the Lord God, that he made us and not we ourselves. And the end of verse 3, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, when the psalmist uses that phrase, we are his people, and then he brings in this image, or the sheep of his pasture. We are his people reminds us of the fact that Israel was redeemed by God. They belonged to God. When Israel came out of Egypt, that was a major point in their history that they looked back to as the point of their redemption, when they became God's chosen people, in that sense that God brought them out as a nation. And they became God's people. Now, the New Testament counterpart to that is the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is our lamb slain for us, his blood shed for us, and that we, through faith in his death and resurrection, are delivered from the bondage of sin. and the judgment of God. And we're set free and we are redeemed. So we are twofold. We are created by God and we are bought by God. We are redeemed by God. So we were actually made by God, special creation, and we were actually purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. We become His people. We are God's people. Two good reasons to give thanks this Thanksgiving. So if the mashed potatoes aren't any good. If the gravy doesn't turn out, and the pie's not that great, you know, and the food isn't all that great, and you know, it's not really happening tomorrow, you can say, well, I was created by God and I've been redeemed. Nothing can change that. Something to rejoice in. Two good reasons why we should be giving thanks unto the Lord. He created me and He bought me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice also, we are the sheep of His pasture. We are the sheep of His pasture. Means that we're the special objects of God. It reminds me of Psalm 23, where David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I love Kenneth Taylor's living paraphrase, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." Remember that and give thanks. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He leads me, He guides me, He protects me. And even in life, when I'm walking through the valley of deepest darkness, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I have His presence. I have His provision. I have His presence. And then David comes to the end of that glorious psalm, that shepherd's psalm. He said, "He anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I will," not maybe, not might, "but I will dwell in the house of the Lord for" how long? Forever. That's awesome. Amen. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. So in life and eternity, I have everything I need. I have everything I need for this life and eternity when the Lord is your shepherd. Now, who's the Lord? John chapter 10. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. And I give my life for the sheep." Jesus Christ is that good shepherd. And if you have Jesus Christ, you are being kept and preserved and watched over by the good shepherd. He leads you and provides for you and protects you and one day will take you home to His heavenly home. So what a blessing to know that we worship God who has redeemed us, created us, and who is our shepherd. So we praise Him, we worship Him, and we thank Him. But thirdly, we not only worship Him as God and Redeemer, but we worship Him because God is good. Notice it in verse 5. In verse 5 there it says, "For the Lord is" what? "Good." The God of the Bible is good. The gods of the heathen are vain, capricious, whimsical, get angry, throw lightning bolts. But the God of the Bible is good. Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." When God created the heavens and the earth, after each day of creation, God said, "It is good, it is good, it is good." God's laws are good. They're good for us. Even the word God is a shortened form of the word good. Did you know that the word good and God come from the same root? Because God is good. And yet you hear so much talk today about, oh, God isn't good, God isn't good. God is good. And that's why we worship Him. Fourthly, God is love. Notice it in verse 5. "His mercy is everlasting." That phrase in the Hebrew is loving kindness. God is love. His mercy there is a reference to God's loving kindness. God is good and God is full of loving kindness. So we worship God for not only who He is, creator and redeemer, but we worship God for what he does. God is good and God loves us. God is full of loving kindness. He is a God of mercy and grace. It's one of the things that I'm always thankful for when I begin to count my blessings at Thanksgiving. I thank God for my wife, and I thank God for my children, and I thank God for my son-in-laws. I'll throw them in there. And I thank God for my grandchildren. They're awesome. Coolest grandkids on planet Earth. But I'm so thankful that God has been merciful to me. I wouldn't be here right now if God hadn't shown me mercy. And I wouldn't be here right now if God hadn't shown me grace. Mercy is God not giving me what I deserve. Every one of you here tonight, God has been merciful to you. God didn't give you what you deserve. Because we all deserve hell. Just thought I'd encourage you. When you get your food tomorrow, you go, I deserve a bigger piece, or I deserve more mashed potatoes. You deserve hell. Be thankful for whatever is put on your plate. Just remember that. And then grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy, he doesn't give you what you deserve, and in grace, he gives you what you don't deserve. We can always be thankful for God's grace and God's mercy. And then fifthly, and this is the last point I will make about why we worship God, because God is faithful. Verse 5, God is faithful. Notice then in verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generation. So he's good. He's love. He is faithful. When the psalmist says his truth endures to all generations, the idea, the concept there of the truth of God speaks of his truthfulness, or what we would say that God is trustworthy, or that God is faithful. So God keeps his word. His truth endures to all generation. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is dependable. God's not a flake like you and I. I'll be there at 5 o'clock. I'll believe it when I see it. Whatever God says, he does. Whatever God promises, he performs. He's not like a lot of people that say one thing and do another thing. God does what he says he will do. And nothing can thwart God's purposes, and nothing can thwart God's promises. Now, here's the thing that blows my mind. Has God ever been loving? I'm asking you guys a question right now. Amen. Has God ever been loving? Yes. Okay. Has God ever been merciful? Amen. Has God ever been gracious? Amen. Has God ever been kind? Amen. Has God ever been faithful? Amen. Okay, check this out. God never changes.
Amen.
Whatever God has been in the past, he will always be for all eternity. God is immutable. He never, ever, ever changes. So we don't have to worry about, maybe in 1,000 years, God's going to tweak. He's been running the universe for so long, he finally slipped a disc or something, and starts getting ticked off in heaven, and smashing angels or something. God never changes. So if God has ever been loving, God will always be loving. If God has ever been merciful, he'll always be merciful. Has God ever been kind? He'll always be kind. God never changes. The Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever when referring to Jesus Christ, who is God and is immutable and doesn't change. Who should worship? Everybody. How should we worship? We should shout. We should serve. We should sing. We should sacrifice. Why should we worship? He is God. He is Redeemer. He is good. He is love. He is faithful. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this marvelous psalm. And tonight we want to give thanks to you. We want to praise and bless your holy name. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Give thanks unto the Lord of lords, the King of kings, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our Shepherd, the God who is good, the God who is merciful and kind and gracious and slow to anger. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for tonight. You are a marvelous, wonderful, glorious God, and we want to worship you. Lord, may this Thanksgiving be a time of truly giving thanks. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us that we haven't been as truly thankful as we should. Forgive us for the times we've complained, or we've griped, or we've bemoaned our plight or our lot. Lord, if you choose to bring suffering or sorrow or bereavement or loss or pain into our life, Lord, may we, like Job, say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever you bring, Lord, you are good. You are good. And your mercy endures forever. And Lord, tonight, from this day forward, we want to worship you. We want to give you thanks and glorify you. In the sanctuary, with the people of God, in the house of the Lord, may we shout to the Lord. May we sing to the Lord. May we proclaim the goodness of God, magnify the Lord. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.